Well, don't you think it would be great to live in a perfect world? In a perfect world, everyone's college team would win on Saturday, even if they're playing each other. In a perfect world, chocolate would become a food group and have no calories. In a perfect world, procrastination would be an honored virtue. In a perfect world, government would pay us taxes. Thank you. I figured I'd get an amen on that one. In a perfect world, children on trips would say, "Isn't riding in the car fun?" and then go to sleep. In a perfect world, children would not develop vocal cords until they move away from home. I'm just saying. And one woman said about a perfect world, in a perfect world, men would go through labor. But unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world. So we need to learn how to live effectively with those with whom we are in relationship. And one way to do that is by practicing patience. Practicing patience with our friends, with our spouse, a boss, a coworker, other church members. We're in this series called Making Relationships Last a Lifetime. This is the fourth message in the series. And today we're going to be talking about practicing patience. We all need patience in an imperfect world, in a relational world. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 14:29 says this, "A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly." He says it's wise to be patient. It is foolish to be quick-tempered. Now, you can't talk about patience without mentioning anger, because patience is controlling your anger. Patience means slow to get angry. Patience means you have a long fuse. You don't boil over quickly. Now, anger in and of itself is not inherently wrong. Some anger is appropriate. School shootings, acts of injustice, crime, sin, all of that should make us angry. Even God gets angry about things like that. So anger in and of itself is not inherently wrong, but it needs to be managed. Anger out of control is destructive to relationships, but anger in control can be an asset in relationships. So as we develop patience, I want to talk this morning about how to manage your anger. If you can manage it, you are being patient, and the relationship can continue to grow through whatever conflicts come. So how do you manage your anger? Now, if you received a bulletin on the way in, open it up to the center. There, the outline is there in the middle. If you didn't receive one, please feel free to take time to go back now and get a bulletin. So the first thing you need to do to manage your anger is you need to resolve to manage it. You need to decide you're going to manage your anger. Quit saying, "I can't control my anger." You can. Quit making excuses and start accepting responsibility for yourself when it comes to your anger. Some people say, "I just can't control my anger." But you have a lot more control over your anger than you think you do. You ever been in an argument? You ever been in a fight? And all of a sudden your phone rings and you pick it up and you go, "Hello." You can turn it off just like that. We can control our anger. Proverbs 16:32 says this, "It is better to be slow-tempered than famous. It is better to have self-control than to control an army." We need to resolve to manage our anger. Now, it's difficult to control it if you let it get out of control. if you're in the middle of the fight and you're throwing verbal punches to each other, it's hard to get it under control then. That's why you need to decide how you're going to handle it before you ever get to that level. If you get to that level, it's tough. But you resolve to manage it. You decide in advance, before you get angry, how you're going to handle it. It's a struggle, but it can be done. So, resolve to manage it. Number two, how to manage your anger? You realize the cost. You realize the cost that it's going to bring on you and the person with whom you're angry toward. You realize the cost that it's going to take from you, the cost of uncontrolled anger, and use that as a motivation to realize it's not worth it. You are less likely to blow your top if you realize what it's going to cost you. And there's always a price tag attached to uncontrolled anger. All the time. Again, in Proverbs, Solomon writes, "A hot-tempered man starts a fight and gets into all kinds of trouble." He's saying you never get to the top by blowing your top. When you lose your temper, you're the one who loses. And the Bible's very specific about the damage control that uncontrolled anger brings. In Proverbs 15:18, Solomon says, "Hot tempers cause arguments." Would you agree with that? You ever been to a little league baseball field? Soccer field? Kids are out there having fun. Parents start arguing and bickering back there between each other or with the umpire. I umpire. I'm perfect at umpiring. I have the last word. It cracks me up what parents say to me sometimes. You would think this is the World Series of Major League Baseball. I make a good umpire because I have a hard heart. I have a thick skin. I'm a pastor, right? And it cracks me up when I'm umpiring and I tell them I'm a pastor, how quick their anger dissipates. "Hey, that's Pastor Kevin." "What? Oh my gosh." Cracks me up. Anger causes mistakes. Proverbs 14:29 says anger causes mistakes. You ever gotten angry and did something and made a mistake because you were angry while you were trying to do it? Proverbs 14:17, people with hot tempers do foolish things. People with hot tempers sometimes throw something or they say something they regret. Anger leads to foolish action. Proverbs 11:29, Solomon wrote a lot about anger here, didn't he? Proverbs 11:29, "The fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left." I know people who have lived out, unfortunately, who have lived out this verse. Uncontrolled anger can destroy relationships. So we need to resolve to manage it. We need to realize the cost. It's not worth losing what we'll lose. And number three, we need to learn to reflect before reacting. We need to learn to reflect before reacting. Don't respond impulsively. Delay is a tremendous tool in diffusing explosive anger. Delay does not mean saving your anger for weeks, months, or years. That's not delay, that's building up resentment. Anger delayed has a chance to cool down first before you discuss whatever it is you need to discuss. Thomas Jefferson said, "When you're angry, count to 10. He said, "When you're really angry, count to 100. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A stupid man gives free rein to his anger. A wise man waits and lets it grow cool." This is the biblical verse for chill. It's not a new word. It's in the Bible. Let it grow cool. Chill out. Don't react. Take action and say, I need time to process this before I'm going to discuss it with you. So what do you do during the delay? What do you do during the time of reflection? One of the things you need to do is try to understand why you are angry. You need to analyze it. You need to ask yourself three questions. First question you need to ask yourself is, why am I angry? Usually you're angry because of one of three things. We get angry when we are hurt. Hurt people hurt people. You need to ask yourself, okay, I'm angry. Have I been hurt by someone? Has a circumstance hurt me? Are my feelings hurt? Is this the reason I'm angry? Because I'm hurt. A second reason we get angry is because of frustration. We're frustrated over something that didn't go our way, something that caused us an inconvenience. A third reason we get angry is because of fear. You back an animal which is afraid, you back that animal into a corner, and eventually it's going to attack. When someone gets angry at you, focus on which one of these three reasons the person might be angry. Focus on which of these three reasons am I angry? Because it's easier to deal with hurt, frustration, and fear than just uncontrolled anger. Why am I angry? What hurt you? Why are you frustrated? Why are you afraid? That gets you, instead of to the symptoms of the anger itself, that gets you to the reason you're angry. That's where you need to talk. That's what you need to deal with. So why am I angry? Question number two, what do I really want? What do I really want? What helped prompt your anger? And the third question you ask is, how can I get it? Blowing up is not the way to get what you want. Discussing it, talking about it is. So the fourth step in managing your anger is to release your anger appropriately. Release your anger appropriately. Ephesians 4:26, if you become angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin. So this verse is saying it's possible to get angry and not sin. Absolutely, it is. One way people let their anger lead them into sin is by just simply denying it. I'm not angry. I'm not angry. You mad? I'm not mad. And I mean, they're in this total sense of denial to the point they begin to believe themselves. And that causes all kinds of problems. Many people, a lot of Christians, think if I deny my anger, I'm being patient. But denying your anger is not called patience, it's called lying. You're lying to yourself, you're lying to the other person. Patience is not pushing your anger down and pretending it doesn't exist. Anger is not inherently sinful. It depends upon how you release it. Now, some folks release it inappropriately. They'll start yelling, they'll punch a wall, they might throw something. They become very intimidating. They threaten. All of those are inappropriate ways to release your anger. Proverbs 29:11 says this, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. It's foolish just to fully vent all your angry feelings. It's absolutely nuts. Do you ever hear this theory? That if you're angry, like you just take your bucket of anger and this is all the reasons you're angry, and then you just start doing some type of primal scream. I'm so angry. This is why I'm angry. And I'm going to go punch this bag. And I just need to get out of my system. Oh. And they say, if you drain your bucket, then you won't be angry anymore. You'll be in good shape. And people used to do this, literally. But you know what they found out? It doesn't work. The more you continue to vent in uncontrolled ways, your anger and your screaming and do all that, the more you do it, guess what? The angrier you get. You know why venting your bucket full of anger doesn't work? Because you don't have a bucket full of anger. You have a factory. Because it's going to produce anger the next time a situation comes up or another relationship that goes bad. And it just never stops. You can't just empty it once and it's gone. A lot of things in your life produce anger. You have an unlimited supply if you really want to tap into it. But aggression leads to more aggression. Riots break out. Outbursts lead to more outbursts. Uncontrolled anger leads to more uncontrolled anger. And different things make different people angry, right? You have buttons. We all do. See if some of these fit your things that make you angry. Someone cuts in front of you on the road. Ticks me off. Someone keeps you waiting. Someone makes you late. Someone cuts in front of you on the road. Someone doesn't remember what you told them. Someone cuts in front of you on the road. I've done this before. People cut in front of me. And I'm not talking, you know, I mean just belligerently cut in front of me. And I've pulled over the next lane, and I've got my horn on, and I look over here, and I know them. And they know me. And they know I'm a preacher. Hey, if they hadn't cut in front of me, it wouldn't have been an issue. Sometimes Libby doesn't want to ride with me in the car. Oh. Different things make different people angry. And we respond differently. Some people explode. Some people clam up. Some people are like skunks. They're angry and they let everybody know it. Other people are like turtles. They just draw into their shell. And all of these are inappropriate ways to deal with anger. You need to release it appropriately. Don't repress it. I'm going to just push it down. Don't suppress it. Don't ignore it. Don't pretend it's not there. Don't express it without control, which includes things like sarcasm and cynicism and pouting and manipulating. You don't repress, you don't suppress, you don't express, you confess. You confess it. Admit it to yourself, I'm angry. Admit it to the person with whom you're in relationship, I'm angry. And admit it to God, God, I'm angry. And then ask yourself, why? Am I hurt? Am I frustrated? Am I afraid? And then ultimately you admit it to and talk with the person again with whom you're in relationship that the anger is between. Now the last three keys deal with long-term change, not just a short fix. So number five, repattern your mind. Repattern your mind. Now this is long, long-term. Paul said in Romans 12, 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said, you want to change your heart, your mind, you want to change your lifestyle, you want to change the way you deal with other people and relationships, particularly as it has to do with anger and patience, then you need to have your mind fixed, changed. For instance, your spouse being late doesn't inherently anger you. You think it does. But it's what you believe about your spouse being late that actually angers you. He must not care for me or he wouldn't be late. He's not considering my thoughts and feelings or he would have been here on time. It's not that he's late. It's what you read into it. Right or wrong, it's what you read into it. So you need to start renewing your mind. There's a book out. It's been out for like 25 or 30 years. It's called Telling Yourself the Truth. I recommend it to everybody here. You can go on Amazon, I believe, and get it. Telling Yourself the Truth. It's Bachman, and it's got two or three different authors. It is right on what Paul talks about here. How to change, renew your mind so you don't always misinterpret what people are saying or doing, so you can have better relationships with them. It takes a long time to change the way you perceive and filter and process and interpret things. It takes a long time to change, but it can be done. The sixth element of controlling our anger, of becoming patient, is we need to relate to people who are patient. We need to have people who are patient in our lives. We need to model them. We need to learn from them. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25 says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." You think anger's contagious? It's infectious. Do you remember a few years ago some of the riots and all the problems that were going up in Baltimore? I grew up in Baltimore. It wasn't like that when I was growing up. But it's like that now. And one thing led to another, to another, to another, and there were all kinds of riots, buildings being burned. You could literally see on TV taking bats and breaking into people's stores that God knows how long they've put money into that and just robbing them. And do you remember, it was so crazy. For the first time, I think, in Major League Baseball, the Baltimore Orioles played a team, I don't remember the team, they closed the stadium. They surrounded it with security because they didn't want anybody getting in the stadium and causing riots. They literally played an entire Major League Baseball game with nobody in the stands. All because of this. They asked a couple of the players afterwards how that was. He said, "I've never hit a home run before and had no one stand up and clap." Uncontrolled anger can do all kinds of damage. Start with baby steps. Get that book, Telling Yourself the Truth. It's not the only one out there, but it's a good one to start with. And allow God to start changing your mind. Otherwise, you're just going to be fighting symptoms. Six, relate to people who are patient. We already said that, didn't we? Be patient with me. I don't even know where I was on that. Number seven, rely on Christ's help. You got to rely on God's help. Romans 15:5, "May God, who gives patience, steadiness, and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ toward each other." So God gives patience. Many times he helps us learn to be patient. That's my least favorite way to be patient. I don't want to learn it. I just want God to give it to me when I need it. God gives us patience. He gives us steadiness and encouragement to live in harmony in our relationships. How? Because we ultimately develop the attitude of Christ toward each other. And when I have the attitude of Christ toward you, I have to think about how Jesus deals with me. He is patient. He knows I make mistakes. He forgives me and gives me second chances. He doesn't turn his back and walk away, even when I make the same mistake 15, 20 times. He's encouraging to me. These are the same kind of behaviors and attitudes we need to have with each other. How is it that we dismiss people so easily sometimes when God doesn't dismiss us? I don't understand how that happens. Now, I'm not saying I don't do that sometimes. There are some people I've dismissed. Some of those people have been redeemed, and then I realize how wrong I was to dismiss that person, thinking they were absolutely hopeless, that there's nothing I could do to help them. And when God redeems them and then reminds me, Kevin, see, this is the same thing I do for you all the time. So I want you to be that way with other people. Now, would you agree that there are some people that it's easier to be maintain relationships with than others? Would you agree with that? God says, try that with some other folks as well. Jesus can take our hurt, our frustration, and our fear, and he can replace it with his grace and his love and his forgiveness. So we can take that and continue into growing in our relationships with others. Allow God to start controlling your relationships. Let God give you a sense of power that you don't have on your own. You can't do it on your own, because if you did, you'd be doing it, and you don't, because you can't, but you can with God. Being patient with each other will help your relationships last a lifetime. I promise you. We just need to practice it. Okay? Let's pray together. Well, God, you certainly are patient with us. I'm sure we've tried your patience many times. And thank you for the way you respond to us. You are always gracious, loving, and forgiving. You're kind. You show us mercy that we don't deserve. And these are the same attitudes and behaviors that we need to practice in our relationships with each other. God, help us to become more patient. Help us not to be easily angered, but to try to get to the root cause of our fear, our frustration, our anger, to find out what's really bothering us so we can deal and manage the situation in that relationship better. God, help us to resolve with the people we're in relationship that we're going to do our best to handle this in the most appropriate way possible. Then help us to process it, to begin talking with people where the conflict exists, so that we don't tear them down, but even in the conversation, we begin somehow to build them up. It is possible, God, to work out problems in relationships. It's awfully trying sometimes. So give us patience, not just with other people, but give us patience with ourselves, because we fall so short. Now, Lord, bless our response time. People may need to process this and figure out a way it applies to their life, how they can take this and go with it, be changed by it, start practicing it, so our relationships will continue to grow. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.